Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. And again, we want to thank Bill Hollywood Muniz from the reality show Wicked Tuna for being on this evening. What did you think of him, Jeff?
Very interesting guy. It was really good.
Well, I hope you can have a little bit more for our next guest.
Because I'm very excited. I am.
Really?
Yes.
You have a funny way of showing it.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right.
People out listening don't know that.
Well, radio is not a visual medium.
Thank
goodness. The gentleman who's going to be joining us right now is somebody that you can tune into every Monday night, 9 p.m. on the Discovery Channel. None other than Mr. Richard Rollins. Mr. Rollins, how are you?
I'm good, guys. What's going on in Boston?
Boston, Massachusetts. I have to first and foremost say, my girl loves watching the show every Monday night with me. And one of the first things she said when a couple of weeks ago, I believe that you and Dennis were out in Minnesota. And at least that's when the show, you know, that episode. It says, how come he doesn't come to, you know, the Massachusetts area to look for cars? Have you ever been to Boston looking for cars?
You know what? I haven't been to Boston looking for cars, but I've been to Boston a couple of times. And, you know, I'm not opposed to it. So if anybody's out there got cool stuff, send it in. Maybe I'll come by.
as long as it's garaged, it should be okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Y'all's definition of a little bit of rust is a whole hell of a difference. In Texas.
but you guys don't get much snow down in Texas. You don't have to worry about salt on the roads and stuff like that.
No, you don't, but I'll talk to guys that know, and they'll be like, oh, I just got a little rust on the fender. I get the car and it has no fender.
<You know? laughs> First, I got to ask you, I mean, what was the genesis of Gas Monkey Garage? How did you get that started?
You know what? I'm kind of a serial entrepreneur and always get my hands into something. And I just noticed one day that there was a void in the marketplace for a really, really strong national hot rod brand. And put my nose to the grindstone and went after it. And, you know, 11 years later, I'm an overnight success. But it was really just came out of my passion for cars and motorcycles and also the fact that, you know, good shops will do, you know, one car a year, two cars a year, and you can't get in. And I wanted to build a shop that really turned out some really good primo hot rods, you know, in short order.
No, where did the concept of the show come from?
That was actually mine. I actually fought for the show for, a good 6 or 7 years. I mean, I'd go to Hollywood and pitch it and pitch it and pitch it and, you know, tried to get redoing the recipe, and finally it hit. It either that, or I think they just got tired of me banging on the doors.
Because I came about your show on accident. I mean, I kind of got all caught up in, I mean, I've been watching Discovery Channel from when they used to do the biker build off. You know, they'd have somebody on the East Coast building a bike, somebody on the West Coast, and they would meet somewhere and ride somewhere, and people would vote, and, you know. And
yeah, then, you know, that show's actually coming back, too. I know that they're filming some right now.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that doesn't matter, because I'm into Fast and Loud, so, you know, we'll see what happens.
But, you know, we do some motorcycles, too. I think we did all right in last year's biker build-off.
Well, we'll actually talk about that in a moment, because I kind of think that's... Isn't that where you guys kind of got, you know, your big bump is when you actually went against the Tuttles and Jesse James and the biker build-off?
Well, you know, the show's always been trending, going up and up and up, and we really, you know, that was a big opportunity for us, and we were really, really happy to do it. And I think what was really cool is, you know, me and Aaron we got good attitudes about everything, and riding, you know, building a motorcycle that you're going to compete like that and then riding it to Vegas and putting it on stage, I think was pretty cool. It was a great opportunity, and, you know, it was definitely helped us out.
I mean, you guys came in second. Where I mean, the main feud. Everybody thought like the main feud was between the Tuttles and Jesse James. You guys kind of slid in there with a nice sleek bike.
We did. We put our thought to it, and our biggest deal was we wanted a real titled, licensed, tagged, inspected Harley Davidson, not just a bunch of parts off the shelf. And we wanted to ride it to Vegas. And truth be told, I was told absolutely under no circumstances do you ride that motorcycle to Vegas.
And you did.
We jumped off the road to Vegas.
That's awesome. Now, you guys, this is the fifth season for the show. How do you kind of feel that the show has evolved over the past 5 years?
Well, it's not 5 years. It's five seasons.
Five seasons. I call 5 years.
We've only been on air for about 2 years, a little longer than 2 years. And, you know, we're getting more and more characters. The shop's getting bigger. Business is getting bigger. The builds are phenomenal. I mean, I'm not sure if you saw it. We built a million-dollar F40 Ferrari last season. We got another supercar coming up this season. And, you know, we've got a killer episode on tonight where we're actually talking about some of the viral videos that are out there, you know, but all motorcycle-related.
Right.
Not motorcycle, but motor-related cars, motorcycles, what have you. And we kind of have a little fun with that. And I think that's our recipe of success is we switch things up. We have a little fun, you know. It should be fun. So the cars that we get to do they're my choice and Aaron's choice, and we kind of just build what we want and have a good time.
Now I'm gonna take the car from the show a little bit away from Kevin for a second here. You know, shifting away from what the show is about more to cars for a second. You know what? My dad and I are huge car enthusiasts, and we both own a couple. I own a hot rod. My dad owns.
You own a Chrysler? How's that a hot rod?
Yeah, it's good. The SRT8. That thing flies. Come on.
I'm all about Dodge. I'm a Dodge guy now. And
that's what I was going to ask is, you know, of all kind of the hot rods out there, modern and, you know, classic, what are some of your kind of takes on some of your favorites? And you mentioned you're a Mopar guy. So are there any particular models in particular?
Well, you know what? That is an impossible question for me to answer because I really do like them all. And especially when you start getting into the classics and, you know, what have you. I mean, I love 32 Fords because that's kind of where hot rodding started.
Mm.
And, you know, you get into the 50s, the Chevys were a little bit dominant there. And, you know, you get into the 60s muscle car, and then it's just a giant fight as to who thinks what is what. So, you know, I really do have a love and affinity for all of them. And, you know, they all have a purpose and a means, you know, to be there. And what I really like about, you know, having the opportunity with Fast and Loud and with Gas Monkey Garage is we get to really showcase this stuff and get people out there and get them interested. And hopefully the kids are getting off the computer and going out in the garage, taking their dad's lawnmower apart, and, you know, learning how to work on stuff. So, you know, that's what we really hope is kind of keep this thing alive.
All right, I'm bringing it back to the show because a guy, if you're not somebody who likes what Richard Rollins does, you're definitely going to love what Aaron Kaufman does. And you guys have quite a synergy between you. Talk about how you guys met and how long you guys have been doing this together.
Well, we've been working together for about 11 years. We met because he worked at a shop before I had Gas Monkey, and he did some work on a car that I had. And when I decided to Gas Monkey, he was kind of the first call that I made, you know. I had faith in him to be able to do the job, and I kind of told him what I was going to do, and he looked at me like I was crazy and said, cool, let's do it, you know. So as far as our working relationship, it's phenomenally perfect because a lot of guys go into business together and they get in each other's way, and I can't do a daggum thing that Aaron can do, and he can't balance his checkbook. So I do the business, and he does the stuff back there, and everybody's happy.
Right. Well, but what is it about his capabilities as a mechanic? Because the guy's astounding. When it's restoring a car or setting a budget or at times exceeding that budget, that, you know what, you see, when he wants to spend a little extra, that you go, yeah, okay, it's cool.
Well, it's because I trust him, you know, and I know that he's going to do what's best for the car and what's best for, you know, the Gas Monkey moniker. So, you know, when he pushes back on me and wants a little more money or wants to go a little bit further, you know, I don't want to throw the money at it, but I trust that he knows what he's doing. And after 11 years of doing it and probably hundreds of cars, we know what each other needs.
Now, what was it? Now, this year, actually, though, he had a chance where he had to worry about a budget because he's going to have to pay you back when he built the Falcon, right?
Yeah, and he's still working on paying me back on that. But, you know, I know where he gets his paychecks, so I kind of got him one up on that. And he's got a cool little car. He's actually going to take it out to the Big Ben Open Road Racing. So weekend and run it down there.
Now, of all the cars that you guys have done together, probably, you know, that we've seen on the show, probably what would you say are the most memorable cars? Would it be like last week you did, was it the Fleet Line that you guys finally were able to track down and get?
Yeah, you know, getting that back is very cool, but we want to rebuild it, so hopefully when we rebuild that, it'll be pretty neat. And then, I don't know, the 32 Ford three-window we did, and the F40 Ferrari was phenomenal. I mean, just to get the opportunity to build something like that and to make it better. I mean, at the end of the day, we made it bigger, better, faster, lower, meaner F40 Ferrari.
Wow. Yeah, and I remember that. I mean, Dennis was part of that. Talk to me about your relationship with Dennis, because Dennis seems like the guy who, you get another, it's another relationship that you have where you guys work well together.
Yeah, Dennis is you know, at the end of the day, Dennis is my best friend. We've always messed around with cars and stuff, and so he and I just, we buy and sell cars to each other. We go in on cars and split the wrist. I mean, just cool cat. Been my best friend for 20 years, and you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. We both enjoy the same two things, drinking beer and playing with cars.
Amen. Yeah, and you guys even did the Copa Camaros together.
Yes, and we've done it again too.
Well, I mean, you built
all the 2014.
Yeah, what's going on with it? Because we saw last week where you actually sold one, and Dennis didn't seem too happy that you didn't get anything north of $85,000.
Well, it was time to get rid of it, and we sold all of them. So we sold all of the ones that we bought. We just bought all of the new ones, and we're having a good time with that campaign. And it's pretty cool because it's, you know, some of the moves that the guys did in the 60s, you know, whether it was Baldwin Motion or Nicky Harrell or any of those guys. So, you know, those Copa Camaros, I think, will be really, really popular in, you know, 20, 30, 40 years when everybody's looking for them, because they're coming on MSOs from Gas Monkey Garage. I mean, those are the Gas Monkey Copa Camaros.
Again, we're speaking with Richard Rollins, and he is the owner of Gas Monkey Garage, and he is also the star of Fast and Loud, that you can see every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I kind of want to kind of go back to, I mean, when you first started the show, you were in kind of smaller digs. You've since moved on up. You've got a bigger garage. I think you've got a restaurant now. I mean, what's it like being a business guy and you're growing? What are you watching as a business guy as you're growing? Are you being careful as far as what you're taking in, or are you already kind of thinking of maybe another garage down the road?
No, we're looking at all of that. I'm kind of a serial entrepreneur, and I'm always wanting to do more and always put back. My biggest thing, though, is I don't borrow and I don't do anything that I can't do myself. So, you know, we had the opportunity to do the bar. The bar's there. We've already opened a second location in DFW Airport, and we're opening another location in Fort Worth, and we'll be open in Vegas before the end of the year. And so the bar venue's going great, and it was just a natural progression. And then the garage is doing really well. We're looking at some other locations for it also.
Let's also take a moment to talk about some of the other people or characters that you have on the show, whether it's Casey, who works his magic in the paint booth. You got Sue, who, when you need an interior done, you need to, you know, hear some extra BS, you go to Sue. Or Tom Martin, who actually played a great Sheriff Buford T. Justice during the whole Burt Reynolds and the Black Trans Am. Talk to me about those people.
You know what? They're great people. Casey's a really, really talented painter and quick, which is important. And Sue, you know, she's Sue, yeah. You know, but she gets the work done. And what's funny is Sue's been doing my interior for, you know, 10, 15 years that I've been playing with cars. And, Tom is, Tom's Tom. I mean, he pretty much is exactly what you see on television.
Yeah, that's I can see that. He did do but I thought he did a nice job when you guys did the whole mock-up with the Smokey and the Bandit thing. And
he did a phenomenal job, and I think that might have been the highlight of his last two. We all had fun doing that. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I got to say, Richard, you did a great job as the Bandit, so definitely thumbs up for that. What was it like, you know, meeting Burt Reynolds?
Oh, it was cool. I mean, super cool. I mean, I grew up, you know, watching all those movies, whether it was Cannonball Run or Stroker Ace or the Smoking Bandit series or any of them, Hooper. I mean, you name it. So, I mean, getting to meet Burt was really, really amazing. And then getting to pseudo play him, you know, in a little part of our show was really, really fun. I had a blast with it, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
And you, I mean, you've had a couple of other styles. This might draw my co-host back into the conversation. He's a big NASCAR fan.
Huge.
I mean, you had George Foreman, who actually snuck off with one of your Mustangs, and then you had a little encounter with Dale Jr.
We did. We built that car for him in Mountain Dew and had a good time doing that. And, you know, actually just recently at Texas Motor Speedway, Brad Kozlowski's car ran the Gas Monkey logos on the back bumpers during the Texas race.
See, what's that like? That's got to be cool to know that, you know, that you... Well, I mean, what's the moment that you've had where you're like, I've made it? Have you had that moment yet?
You know, I don't know that I think of it like that because I'm always challenging myself to do more, but I'm very, very lucky and blessed to be where I'm at. And I get up every morning and I go to work and I have a good time. And I love having this team around me and knowing that, you know, collectively as a team, we're all taking care of ourselves and our families and our kids and what have you. So it's a pretty awesome feeling every morning.
Now, I know earlier in the earlier seasons that you had, a lot of times we'd see you go out with the trailer and your pickup truck combing, you know, across Texas looking for vehicles. And you had one, I think, Aaron, you had with you, and you jumped into, you stopped, you made a stop in regards to, it was a place that had vehicles. It doesn't seem like you do that anymore. It seems as though you're more, you go somewhere or somebody brings something by the shop for you to check out or...
Well, you know, it got real busy, and we're getting back to that.
Okay.
We're getting back to the roots. You'll see more and more of that coming back, but it was a kind of a combination of developing the recipe and finding the time and making sure that we were getting what we needed to get. I mean, you know, you got to remember, we started this show with me and Aaron and two other guys, and
right.
Now we're 17 strong. So
wow.
It's a big machine. It moves very slowly.
And the other aspect, so are we going to start seeing you more at the, because earlier on, the earlier seasons, we saw you more at the auction, no reserve, and it seems as though it's you're less, more people are coming to the garage to buy vehicles from you than, unless you're, you know, bringing a Copo Camaro.
No, you're going to see a little bit of all that.
Okay.
It's a really big mix, and, I think it's kind of like... we're still doing all of the same things. It's just some people remember parts of it, you know, and don't pay, you know, don't remember a part. It's kind of like when you play golf, you know, you only remember the good shots. So we're doing a lot of getting out there, finding these cars. We're finding some barn finds. I mean, next week is going to be unbelievable. We actually got out into Connecticut, sitting in a guy's barn. No kidding. Was 1967 Firebird.
Wow.
Now, that's the first year of the Firebird. This was Firebird number one. So the very first Firebird ever made. Body number one, serial number one, numbers matching, you name it.
Ugh.
Now, that's pretty cool. But that's sitting right next awesome. To it was Firebird number two.
Oh.
So the first two Firebirds in the history of the world. And they both were rusty, needed restoration, everything else. But they were the real deal. Brought them back here and did... full concourse restorations on those cars in 71 days.
Wow.
You know, there's a lot of other, not a lot, but there's a good amount, like on Velocity Channel, there's like other car shows, and there's the car guys with the, you know, the shops out there. Do you network with any of those guys and kind of, you know, talk to them about some of the, you know, stuff out there?
Maybe I do. I mean, we run into them all the time. I mean, some of us are chasing the same cars. I mean, if the right car pops up, I can guarantee you, you know, depending on if it's a muscle car or a classic or a, you know, or a foreign car like a Lamborghini or a Ferrari or something like that, if I can tell you the five or six guys are going to call them as fast as I did, you know. And so, yeah, we see them quite a bit. Chip Foose is a really good friend of Gas Monkey Garage and myself, and I credit him, you know, with really helping us get started. We were on overhauling for, I don't know, three or four times way back when.
Oh, I love that show.
Yeah. Yeah, I just would, when Kevin was mentioning the trailer and going around, I think of Wayne Carini up here in Connecticut, who does the same type of thing. He gets in his trailer and goes around and you know, finds classic cars,
yep.
Chasing classic cars.
I was just in New York with him last week.
Oh, that's cool.
Had a chance to talk about some of the trends in the marketplace, what's hot, what's slowing down, and You know, it's a fun gig.
That's cool.
What is it though? I mean, does it seem as though you're so used to having the cameras around and being out and doing? I mean, do you sit down and kind of script out the stuff? Can you peel back the curtain and kind
of? You know, we really don't. It's my decision, mine and Aaron's decision on what cars we're going to buy, which ones we're going to sell, which ones we're going to build, how we're going to build them, what style, everything else. And as far as scripted, I mean, really, the only thing we ever have to lay out is sometimes the camera crew can't move as fast as I do.
Right.
So, you know, I'll find a car for sale, say, 30 minutes from now, and race out and pay the guy, and then we got to go, you know, buy it tomorrow because, you know, the camera crew can't pack up and get gone that fast.
See, that's interesting. I mean, because they're not all successes, are they? Because you've had a couple.
No.
You've had a couple where you've bought a vehicle and lost money, and I'm like, oh man. I mean, I've seen you where you've gone out and you bought a vehicle, and then would take it to auction and would, like, you know, be on the line. You'd lose $500. It's like, you know, is it the fun of the gamble? The gamble, knowing that maybe you could.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, it's my own form of gambling, but, you know, you don't want to lose, but it's part of it. I mean, any car guy will tell you that. You don't win on all of them. The trick is you got to know when to get rid of them.
Right.
And a lot of people will get into it, and they'll be like, well, I'll put some money into it. If it's a loser, it's a loser. Get rid of it, you know?
Yeah.
And you just always, at the end of the day, you want your win column to be bigger than your loss column.
Sure. Well, I got to tell you, Richard, it's been an honor and a privilege to have you on here on Monday Night Talk to talk cars, talk about the show. I mean, again, I've watched the show since the inception. As I said, it was kind of an accident from watching other shows, and it just caught my interest, you and Aaron, and you know, how well you guys work together and how you're able to, at the end of the day, able to, you know, turn a car around, whether you just clear it and send it out the door, or you know, Aaron rips out the engine and puts a new drivetrain in. You guys seem to know what works at this time.
Well, we're having a good time. We're very blessed to be where we're at. And, you know, stay tuned. Keep watching. You're going to see some cool stuff on Fast and Loud. And I got a couple more shows coming out under the Gas Monkey banner. And we're going to continue to have some fun.
Now, is there anything that if somebody was to ask you, is there a question that you haven't been asked that you wish that you could kind of share about you or your success or Gas Monkey Garage?
Not really. I've been asked a lot.
Have you really?
I get some pretty crazy questions, but, you know, it's just, it's been a wild ride, and I hope it continues to be one because it's a lot of fun.
Well, it's a lot of fun to watch you and the gang. Just quickly, if folks want to find out more about Gas Monkey Garage or Fast and Loud, how can they find out more?
Oh, you can hit up gasmonkeygarage.com, and that'll tell you everything you need to know, or you can go to discovery.com and look at Fast and Loud. And like I said, we're on here tonight, your time here, in about 10 minutes, I think. And it's different, it's evolving, and I think what you'll see is that we're not afraid to take the risk and have a little bit of fun.
And hopefully you'll find yourself. Now, I know that at the end of every show, there's usually a call for the beer assistant. Is that not correct?
Oh, yes. Always. I mean, well, that's part of every guy that works on a garage, or on his car in his garage, has got a barbecue pit and a refrigerator full of beer. I can almost guarantee it.
Well, while it's not a visual medium, we crack one for you, my friend, and we thank you very much for being on Monday Night Talk.
All right, thank you, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Bye. You got it. There he is, Richard Rawlins. That's it for us. So we're going to step aside for the evening, but we got more programming here on 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.